are ready to resume the hearing. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The discharger has acknowledged the violations, so there's no question in terms of the violations. However, I wanted to address the issue that was made, or the point that was made a couple times about the notion that there was really no problem from the violations. And I wanted to just point out that this type of reuse, that is irrigation on a golf course, is one of the most critical uses that we regulate due to the high potential for direct public contact with the water. And that's why it has the most stringent requirements that you'll find short of watering crops that are eaten raw. And granted, we do not have any coliform bacteria violations reported, and that's very fortunate. However, there's only one grab sample per day for that bacteria testing versus the required continuous turbidity monitoring. And the reason for that is partially to give the to make a reasonable monitoring program for the discharger, and because turbidity is known to be problematic in terms of obtaining adequate disinfection. High turbidity can cause interference with proper disinfection. So it is critical that we pay attention and that we treat that requirement very seriously, because it's really our backstop in terms of assuring that the quality of the water is sufficient to protect public health. The dischargers have acknowledged that with proper operation and maintenance, they have obtained compliance, and I think the clear message there is if they had had proper operation and maintenance in the past, they would have been in compliance, or at least substantial compliance, with a much better record than what they've compiled. We've had a lot of discussion about the fact that there was a contractor involved with plant operations. That's not unusual. We have that situation with many other dischargers that we regulate, and the discharger is ultimately responsible for compliance and for oversight of the contractor. Now, the board has many options in this matter. You can raise the amount, you can lower the amount, you can keep it the same. And once you've decided on that amount, you can also you have other options as far as what you do with that penalty. What we would like to amend in terms of our recommendation is one such option, and that would be to suspend a portion of the penalty contingent on continued substantial compliance. The specifics of that are that of the $75,000 penalty, $40,000 would be suspended based on continued substantial compliance, defined by less than or equal to 3 violations per month. Now, that might seem kind of liberal. You know, why not expect no violations per month? We think it provides some reasonableness in that it's saying you don't have to be perfect, but that would certainly be a huge improvement from the record that the discharger has compiled in the past. And then lastly, that the terms of that $40,000 suspension, rather than being an all or nothing kind of a deal, is that we would look at it in six month periods over a 2-year time period, so that for the first 6 months, if they can meet that criteria, the penalty is suspended. If they don't meet it, $10,000 or 1/4 is due and payable. Same thing the next 6 months. So $10,000 increments rather than an all or nothing compliance criteria. And then lastly, we have the changes to recommend to the order, which our council.
Could I just ask a clarification? And then are you suggesting the balance of that, the $35,000, then be paid?
Correct.
Okay.
And
yes. That's for the thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
The 3 violations.
Oh, okay. Ms. Oken was just asking if the 3 violations per month would also apply to reporting violations. And yes, I was intending it to mean any violations.
And would that be in addition to any penalties that they would accrue because of those particular violations.
Right. It does not...
They may...
It does not excuse liability for any future violations.
They may be penalized in addition to those, because of those future violations.
Correct. This is simply what would be the fate of the dollars that you're assessing for past violations. So I think it's probably pretty clear that we're trying to make sure that through this enforcement action that we're inducing compliance as well as having a penalty for past violations.
Another clarification, when you say for the three violations per month would include the potential for monitoring violations, reporting violations, I would assume that means per day? You mean 3 days? Is that what you're thinking of? If they're late?
I think once they're late, it's a violation.
Okay. So you're saying that if it's a month or a day, it's going to be counting as one? Be good to be clear on that.
Okay. We've had a suggestion for a modification. I think it's more for cleanliness and making it easier. The violations would refer to effluent limit violations, and we would deal with reporting violations separately with further enforcement actions.
Okay. So from that, I take it to understand you would not count reporting violations against the three limit?
Right, but it does not excuse potential future liability for those violations.
Okay, thank you.
Are there legitimate reasons for a report to be late?
At times there are. You could have a illness or a lab error or something like that.
Okay.
And then lastly, we had the modifications that we were recommending that Ms. Okun talked about during our opening statement. And that's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Rizzo.
Yes. Well, on behalf of the board, we're happy to hear that there's been some modifications and that, and we hope that you take those into account, the fact that we're willing to come down a bit. Unfortunately, we're not in a position right now as a board to sort of make a decision onto it. Obviously, that decision is yours. If there was going to be a $35,000 fine, besides the $40,000 that's suspended, I would ask that either you reduce that amount or earmark that amount of the $35,000 fine towards either the sewer hookup or to the improvements to the plant over and above. And we expect that recommendation to come down within a couple of weeks from the new plant operator. Thank you.
Okay. I think that concludes our closing statements. And I'll close this portion of the hearing. And the board or the panel can now, we can now deliberate over what, you know, what we want to do in terms of making a recommendation to the full board. Mr. Chalfrance.
I've got a couple questions first. Are the members of this homeowners association, are they also members of the Los Osos Community Service District or not?
Yes.
You're voting members of the CSD?
Yes. We are in the prohibition zone, as defined.
So I guess I'm wondering why you had to come up with some special deal to hook up with their sewer system if you're already a member of the sewer district, or of the service district.
That I cannot answer. I know that talking to someone, he had told me that they were hoping that once the plant got on board, we'd be the first people to hook up because we have all our stuff already in one central location, and that they were happy to have us because we'd be the first people to be hooked up because obviously the plant would need material.
Well, if you're members of the service district, why would it matter whether they were happy or not? It seems like you'd have to be hooked up. I don't know.
It would alleviate us from maintaining our plant, obviously, once we hook up.
Okay. Is there any issue there, or am I just confused? Sorry.
Originally, the development The development is actually outside the discharge prohibition zone, so it was not included as part of the community wastewater project originally.
Okay, thanks. That clarifies. Then, can someone just tell me what the average cost of the homes in this area are? The average value? Fair market value?
Current fair market value or the purchase value?
Current firm fair market value.
I would say anywhere from $600,000 to $700,000.
Okay. I like staff's new recommendation. I was sort of leaning towards something similar to that, holding it in abeyance. My concern is that there may not be anything for them to hook up to at some point. So my concern is that that they do the upgrades to their plant as if it were going to be the only plant they're going to have for a very long time. And so I was thinking more in terms of issuing the fine and holding an abeyance pursuant to some sort of time frame within which they make the recommended upgrades to the plant. And maybe that's more complicated than staff. Staff's maybe a little more direct. Tying it into effluent violations, but that's sort of what I was thinking. And I don't mind applying the whole amount to that sort of thing, as long as they're on a strict time schedule for improving the plant. But I'd like to hear what other.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Hayashi.
I agree with and echo the same thought that Mr. Shellcross came about assessing the $75,000 fine, holding it in abeyance over a 2-year period or something, maybe 3-year period. I haven't got that far yet, but you know, as long as the plant would still continue and as long as it could operate, you know, and without any hiccups along the way. I mean, you have a new consultant coming on board, and if the new consultant is one of the partners that, you know, that we know of, I have a lot of confidence in that man, and I could see that the recommendations that he's going to make to this for any upgrade, should you need the upgrade, I mean, I would feel confident that he knows what he's talking about, and if you guys could prove to us that you're committed to doing those upgrades, to making this plant work, you know, it could make me really go this way. Another thing that we've come up with, we've been told time and time again, you're not the first set of folks that come and say, well, we have this money set aside to do this. And the money I'm talking about is the money you have set aside for the sewer hookup. I mean, it's all well and good, but we need some assurance that money's always going to be there for that purpose when that's the new sewer system in Los Osos is completed. I mean, I don't know how to get that assurance.
If I can suggest something, the board could talk about it, but I'm sure perhaps if that was a concern of yours, we could either open up an open-ended escrow account, and we can always deposit that money into an escrow account, and perhaps put a time limit on it. That's something we can always work down with I'm sure a staff attorney or something like that we can leave it in there for 4 years or so and sort of sit there. Wouldn't cost something. It would collect some interest on it. That's something that I'm sure we'd be willing to look at to make sure when the Los Osos thing is taken care of, we'd be ready, willing, and able to go.
I have a question for Mr. Shellcross. How many year period were you thinking about?
Well, I don't know how long it would take to implement the proposed upgrades to the plant. I would leave that, you know, for staff to work out. Maybe a couple years. Pick some good improvements that we think would help, and maybe, you know, the more I think about it, the more complicated this sort of becomes, and now I'm thinking maybe staff's recommendation is the best way to go, because it's just strictly based on violations, but...
And performance, just basic performance.
Basic performance, but staff may have some comments on that.
It's okay to respond to that, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Well, I think Mr. Hayashi hit the nail on the head when he said he referred to if there are improvements that are proposed. We don't have, the discharger doesn't have proposal for improvements. And as I pointed out, the testimony indicates that operation and maintenance has been the key. So we don't know that there'll be improvements. We don't know how significant they'll be. We don't know how long they'll take, if there are any. So that's why we felt it would be a lot cleaner to just base it on compliance. And if they need improvements to get that compliance, that's an incentive.
Yeah, I think that's persuasive.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out there is a cleanup and abatement order that's in place, and there is a deadline in there for them to comply with certain tasks. So this action is not going to impact compliance with the cleanup and abatement order.
Okay, my own thoughts on this are that I think what staff is now proposing seems to be kind of a fair accommodation. I would be, I'm in support of what they're proposing in terms of putting $40,000 of the fine in abeyance based on compliance with effluent standards. And I do like that approach simply because, you know, they can, and people seem to misunderstand the role of the water board. We don't get in and tell people that they've got to do certain tasks in detail. We tell them how they are to comply with water quality laws. Compliance is their responsibility. We don't micromanage. They hire consultants. Hopefully they're qualified and competent to carry out those tasks. But that is not our job nor our role. And so, therefore, the compliance with the standards, I think, is the most efficient way to do this. They can propose changes to their plant anytime they want. I don't want to get involved in that, and we shouldn't get involved in that. But the effluent standards are what should be the controlling feature here. Be in compliance with those, and everything will be okay. So I think that's a cleaner way to go. I'm in favor of the balance of the fine, though, being payable, the $35,000. However, since this is a recommendation to the full board, I would, you know, suggest the discharger to consider a SEP and maybe come back to staff before the next board meeting and possibly propose something that might benefit the folks of the Homeowner Association, and they could get some additional benefit out of those fines. But getting back to, I think, my sentiments on this, I always try to put things in perspective when I look at what we're doing here in assessing penalties against anybody. And, you know, there's not willful conduct here. There's not people putting false information in reports and things like that. We're well aware of that. I see the evidence as the discharger not really being on top of what's going on for whatever reason. And it's happened before. I mean, it's not like this is any big shock, because these are technical things, and they hire consultants and engineers to do this work for them. But ultimately, the buck stops with the Homeowner Association or the discharger. There's just no other way around it. We've had these situations before, and we have imposed administrative civil liabilities in the past. And so in keeping in concert with that effort, we simply need to enforce these laws. There is a deterrent effect to doing this. When it comes to the board, unfortunately, the board does have discretion. However, I think the best use of that is to show that water quality is important to this board, and we're going to enforce these laws. My comments to the general public are, get things corrected with staff before they get to the board. When they get notices of violations, you got to take them deadly seriously, because the consequences, which are always laid out in these NOVs, are quite clear, and it's going to result in, or could result in, some serious consequences. And in keeping with that, some notes I wrote down are that we don't wait for fish to die or people to get sick. We need to take action when the violations occur, and that's how we hopefully prevent really serious beneficial use impacts from happening. And if we didn't enforce violations like this, then it really becomes kind of meaningless, and nobody would take staff seriously when they issue notices of violation, and that's really a concern of mine. So in my summation, getting back to, you know, what I would like to see happen is the, you know, the 40,000, I'm on board with that. I think that makes total sense. And I think it's good to keep the reporting out of it, because the reporting could be, I mean, that's each day that there is no report. And so I don't find that there should be much of a justified excuse after we've had this hearing that there should be any late reports. That's clear in my mind. The effluent violations are sometimes a little less controllable depending on circumstance. And then the 35,000, you know, if they can come back with a SEP, they might get some benefit. And then if the full board feels otherwise and wants to, you know, do something different, we'll be able to participate in that discussion next month. So those are my thoughts.
That sounds good.
Okay.
I'll agree to that.
Okay.
Is there something we need to do before we...
Do we actually make a motion then, and
yeah,
we don't?
I have a couple suggestions. Number one is that as a SEP is cobbled together for consideration, that I would ask that care be taken to make sure it's consistent with the State Board's water quality enforcement policy, which you can find on the State Board's website or through the Regional Board office, I'm sure. Because there's some, it lays out very, very easy to follow detail, a good construction of a SEP. And that way you avoid problems when you get before the board when it gets ready to
consider. And just for other folks' benefit, could you tell them what a SEP stands for?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah, those darned acronyms. Supplemental Environmental Project is what a SEP stands for. And that's, the concept is it's supplemental to obligations already held by the discharger, and it helps the environment. And I would also just... hearing a lot of dialogue today, that we hear a lot of these hearings on, as an attorney, I hear a lot of comments about how our operator did this and we don't know if we can hold them liable, we don't know if they'll pay the penalties, and we don't know if under the contract they're liable. It comes up a lot with small districts where you're getting ready to hire a new consultant. I would just suggest you take this lesson to heart and be real careful when you draft that contract, because we always hear this, that the small community gets left holding the bag after a consultant has messed up an implementation. Ultimately, you are responsible, as the board members have pointed out, and a lot of it comes back to contracts we have no control over, but you do in the drafting. So here you are getting ready to draft a new one, and I thought I'd point that out.
And my last comment is that for those of you that think we're being punitive in this, I just want you to know that... this board rarely goes below what staff recommends on administrative civil liabilities. And there are numerous instances where we have increased the penalty over staff's recommendations. And so this is one of those rare circumstances where, I mean, staff has adjusted it downward, and I think they've done the right thing in that respect, although I would have been supportive of the full amount paid in some respects, but this is not punitive.
Okay, and as far as a motion goes,
yeah,
I think
do we need a motion for the recommendation?
Yes,
okay.
I think It's a little bit complex because the recommendation is somewhat complex, and I'd prefer to have a little bit of time for drafting. So if we could perhaps take like a 15-minute break or a lunch break or whatever's appropriate to have a proposed finding drafted for us to read into the record that's accurate, that accurately conveys what your motion is, I'd feel better rather than trying to reconstruct it from what Mr. Briggs had said earlier. Maybe you have something written already. I don't know.
Nothing you can read.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you could read my notes either.
Be glad to help out with that.
So how long do you think you would need to reduce that to a writing you could share with the other side and the board could take on as a motion?
Seems like, considering the hour of the day, a lunch break would be a good way to go.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Okay. And I would suggest that what we're going to end up needing is a motion from this panel to find as true the facts alleged in the complaint and adopt to adopt proposed additional findings for the proposed ACL, which would include the items we just discussed, and then recommend that the board adopt the revised proposed administrative civil liability, and also would want to include a recommendation to make the changes in the worksheet for the record. I believe that's it.
I have a procedural question. The statute says that the panel will make a written report of its recommendation to the full board, and the way I read it, the written recommendation can be we recommend adopting this proposed order. Are you foreseeing anything other than that?
Now, that's what I had in mind as well. This is I know this is this region's first panel proceeding. The region I normally advise hasn't done one yet either. The statute does not specify a process. I believe that was what I had in mind. And that would be that this panel make proposed revisions to the proposed document, and then the report and recommendations would be to recommend that the documents as revised be adopted.
Are you on board with that, Ms. Oaken?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And Mr. Rizzo?
Yes.
Okay.
When again for is the next hearing date that this recommendation will get into? I heard two different dates.
October 21st, I believe. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, in Santa Barbara.
So if we do come up with a set program, then it should be ready to be proposed at that hearing then.
That's a very good point. We'd want to make sure that all the persons on the interested persons mailing list get a copy of that proposed SEP as well as the proposed revised ACL. It's another mailing. I don't know if the 21st gives enough time for that. Yeah.
That was my concern. When's the next scheduled board hearing?
Do you have any flexibility there?
After October 21st?
December 7th, I think.
December 7th.
Second.
December 2nd. Sounds like that would make that more doable to provide time to draft a good SEP and give everybody a chance to review it.
Actually, our agenda for the October 21st meeting is already out and basically just has a placeholder for this item.
What you could do would be to open the hearing and continue it at that point to the December date if in light of the developments underway.
Do we even need to open it and continue it since we've already opened it so we don't have a problem with the 90-day requirement?
Probably not. That's a good point. And if you're going to send out the documents again, it could provide notice of the new hearing date as well anyway.
How is our December 2nd agenda looking? Do we have room on it to fit this in?
Well, I think we're going to have to actually start December 1st with an enforcement case, which is Thursday, and then the remainder of the agenda on Friday the 2nd.
Which enforcement one is that?
The one I mentioned earlier today.
Oh no.
Okay.
The big one.
That might be. Is there any reason why it has to be in December? I mean, I hate to see these things drag out too far, but
no.
You'd hate to get them folded together.
Well, it would be on separate days.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's doable for the 2nd.
Okay. All right, fine. And Mr. Rizzo.
Yes.
Just so you're aware. Pay attention to the enforcement policy, the State Board enforcement policy. We've had on occasion SEPs come back, which the board rejected because they didn't follow the guidelines.
Right.
And it's got to be something that your client would not normally do in the operation of its plant. So there can be a benefit to it, but it can't be increasing staff time or paying salaries or replacing, you know, equipment. You know, there's got to be an environmental benefit to what it's doing over and beyond the project.
And there's also project tracking, reporting, and oversight obligations. They're all laid out in there.
So if you have any questions, I know staff will alert you to, you know, what to do.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we will take a break. Is there anyone here that wanted to address this at the public comment period? Okay. So there's no one here for public forum. And then we will just then... Yes?
Can I just make one
sure.
comment? In case not everybody comes back after the break, I don't know how often the Homeowners Association meets. I would suggest that you have a standing item on your agenda that acknowledges or that asks for a report either from the operator or from your consultant and make sure that you're in compliance. You just have a standing item on the agenda and just make sure that the residents are all their concerns are being addressed regularly.
That's a good suggestion. Okay, how much time do we want to take for lunch?
What are we coming back for?
Or for this report.
So want to come back at 1?
1 is fine. Yeah, good. Okay, we'll reconvene at 1 o'clock.
Stand by. We'll get paper on. Go ahead.
Mr. Riso had a court date in Santa Maria, so he had to leave.
Okay, well, we will resume our hearing then. It is 1:05, and we do need Ms. Oaken to come back.
But in the interest of time, we have the proposed changes up on the screen here.
Okay.
So the first proposed changes are the revisions that would affect the changes in the worksheet as far as the factors. And the first one has to do with the degree of culpability. The new language is in italics. Can you read that okay?
Yes.
And then the second one is the ability to pay factor. And again, that's the same quote that Ms. Oaken read at the beginning of the hearing. Any questions about those changes?
Nope.
Okay. And moving on down in the it is hereby ordered part, we've got the $35,000 that's due immediately, as in within 30 days. And then we have the language for the suspended portion, which is the $40,000 part. And this is kind of wordy, but it's repetitive in that we have four different paragraphs, one each for each one of the time periods. So if you read part A, you'll get the gist of it. Six-month time period. And
yeah, that kind of confuses me. Why they? Oh, January to June, then July. Okay, fine.
So that's the first. Right. That's the first six-month
right.
time period.
Right. Right.
Considering that it'll be December by the
right.
time this comes back to the board.
Right. And you have two more.
Okay. Then we have the next six-month time period.
Right.
Same language. And we have the C is the third six-month time period. D is the fourth six-month time period.
You left January 1st out of.
Well,
C.
It includes January.
Between January.
We
the
can,
others say January.
We can put the one in.
The others just to be consistent.
That's fine.
The State Board will be on our case if we're not consistent.
Just trying to save you some.
Okay. And then this next paragraph refers to the three violations. If they have more than three violations in any calendar month, then the suspended amount is due and payable, and the due date is 30 days after the, basically when the monthly report is due.
Okay.
And then a little bit of a change from what we talked about this morning, very minor, but we thought, well, gee, what if that last report is late? Does that mean that it's not due? So we just went ahead and said that if that last report for that six-month period is late, then they would be presumed to have had more than three violations during that month. And then there's the payment provision there, how they would do that logistically. And then further, that as we discussed this morning, there is no excuse liability for anything from this month forward. And I think that's it.
Well, the only other thing is, and I don't know if Mr. Briggs said this before I came in, that we had talked about excluding the monitoring requirements from the late monitoring reports from the calculation of the three violations, and including effluent limit violations. And I just referred to anything other than monitoring violations, other than effluent limit violations. So there's the orders, prohibitions, and various other standard provisions that would count towards the three.
So that's why we have the provision, it says other than provision D1, monitoring and reporting requirements.
Are we going to do anything about this escrow account they were talking about?
Well, I don't think we can put it in the proposal at this point, because we don't know if they're going to propose anything, and we don't know what staff's recommendation will be, so we may have to modify this further at the board meeting.
Okay. I mean, as far as for the money for the hookups in the future, because they have the money in the account now.
Talk about the money for the hookup to the Los Osos CSD system, which is separate from this.
Yeah, when it appears, like, so poof.
What do you want to say about it? That
no,
they
I,
have
I,
to
they
keep
were saying
the money
that
there?
They were saying that they would set up an escrow account for 2 years or 4 years or something, just to show good faith that the money is there when the...
Oh, the $40,000, you mean?
No, the
$116,000.
Yeah.
I thought that was already in an escrow account.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's in...
Oh, microphone, please, when you're speaking.
It's not really in an escrow account, but the board is holding it.
Well, they may need it, though, for this fine, too. So
yeah, okay.
I wouldn't want to strap them.
That's fine.
At this point.
Yeah.
It'd probably be best if we talk with them outside of this order.
Yeah, I think
on that
it's
issue.
Just a question. It's just, that's fine.
Okay. Any other questions on the proposed language?
No. Mr. Goldberg.
Just the supplemental environmental project part of that, we don't need to say that in this. Is that correct? That's just something they will come, if they want to, they will come back?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So
moved.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt this as our recommendation.
One other change. And your question just prompted that. We don't want to say in the top part there, we don't want to say November 6th.
It would have to be December.
It would be December.
Well, no, it could be that. It doesn't matter. We don't. Oh, yeah.
Well, it has to be
yeah,
January 2nd, I mean. January 1st.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we won't have the board meeting.
Good catch.
I move the 6 to the 5.
Yeah.
Cut and paste.
What day is January 1st?
New Year's.
I think that's
Thank you, Mr.
I think that's a Monday. Sunday or Monday?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Why don't we at least give them till Monday?
Till Monday.
Well, the statute actually says 30 days, so they
can deliver it early.
Before.
Well, now I know that.
Or maybe Mr. Briggs could meet them at the office that day.
Okay, and
thanks.
If I can make a as far as how you go about adopting these proposed revisions and recommending that the full board adopt the ACL with those revisions, I would suggest you do it in two parts. One, that someone move to accept the proposed changes, and two, that both the worksheet and the ACL complaint, and then separately have someone move to find as true the facts alleged within the complaint and recommend that the full board adopt it as revised. I'm going to break that down. The first one was to move to accept the changes proposed to the worksheet and the ACL.
Let's take
complaint.
That.
I'll move to accept the proposed changes in the workshop and the ACL
worksheet
as proposed by its dash.
And the ACLC.
And the ACL.
Complaint.
I'll second it.
Okay. Are we all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And then the second motion would be to find as true the facts alleged within the complaint and recommend that the full board adopt the proposed ACL as revised. And I have that written down if somebody wants it.
Okay. I move that this panel find as true the facts alleged within
the complaint in this matter and recommend that the full board recommend that the full board adopt the proposed ACL as revised.
A second.
Okay. Are we all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're all in favor. Is there one more motion? Okay. I think that is it.
Oh, and I guess we will continue this matter to December 2nd, correct? That way you don't have to renotice it. Unless you have planned to renotice it anyway.
Well, it'll be on our agenda notice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And if there's a set, there'll be a staff report on the set.